God's grace and peace to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I can remember, pretty sure that it was my sophomore year in high school. It was Thanksgiving. I typically help my mom out at least a little bit with Thanksgiving dinner. My job was to put all the bread into the broiler at the bottom, watch it get toasted, not too toasted, take it out, crumple it up. Then I was free. I got to go watch football or whatever else it was that we did. So I didn't notice when it happened. I just know it was that Thanksgiving. We got down to sit at the table. And all of a sudden, as it was scooped onto our plates, all six of us kids noticed, and almost all of us at the exact same time said, "Mom, what have you done to the stuffing?" Well, I'd crumple the bread like normal, but my mom had chosen to add raisins to her stuffing. Now, you're chuckling along with me because it's kind of one of those things, right? We grow up with a certain way that Thanksgiving or certain dishes are done, and thou shalt not mess with that. I'm sure that verse is in the Bible somewhere. I'm sure it is. There's just a certain way it gets done, and we have this expectation of things following the recipe, of things being done the right way, if you'll let me use even the phrase, that we obey the tradition the way it should be. Maybe that's one reason why we Lutherans and other Christians are often catching ourselves with the phrase, "Well, we've never done it that way before." But today I want to talk to you about one of the tests that God gives us, and it's kind of along these lines. You see, last week on Sunday, or this week, beginning of Sunday, we started with test number one, the following test. Would the disciples follow Jesus? When he invited them, "Come, I want to make you fishers of men. Come, follow me." Would they learn from Jesus? When Moses was invited to follow God into this great adventure, this great rescue, would he follow? Would he do what God asked him to do? Would he follow him? I think the next step then is not just following Jesus, but also it was then following his way of life or obeying his teachings. Maybe the other way to say that. We hear Jesus talk and teach and do miracles all throughout the Gospels. We get to this kind of climactic moment in, say, Matthew 16, when he asks the disciples, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" And Peter replies on behalf of the 12 and the others who are there, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus' answer then is to tell him not to tell anyone. But just a few days later, really a few weeks later, I suppose, when we have Jesus entering into Jerusalem, when we have him then now in the upper room, and he's washed their feet, and he's talking to them for the final time, his final teaching, Jesus says, "You know, there's more to this than just following me." You and I can call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, and we follow in his doctrine and we follow in his name and so forth. But there is more than just being a follower of Jesus. We don't get to pick and choose and freelance how his recipes, how his teachings, how his ways get done in our lives. It's one thing to add raisins to a recipe. It's a whole other thing for us to say, "Well, when Jesus said to love one another, he didn't mean I have to love people who voted like that or dressed like that or made choices like that or acted like that. I don't have to love them, do I?" It's interesting. We have Saul, a head taller than all the other Israelites, made king by God's grace. Saul sent out in battle with really clear instructions. this group of people, the Amalekites, are so evil. They are like a cancer in this land. And if you let any of that cancer, any of that mold, any of that infection stick around, they will ruin you as a nation. So go and wipe them out, destroy them completely. It's a part of a larger plan of God's judgment that was there for the Amalekites rejecting him in the past, something he had spoken to Abraham about years ago in Genesis chapter 15. But here in 1 Samuel 15, Saul, what does he do? Obey 88%? Now, maybe let's give him 92%. He thinks he's earned himself an A. He's wiped out everyone except the king. He's wiped out everything except the best-looking rams and lambs and so on. He tries to excuse at first it was the soldiers who did it. But the prophet Samuel knows better. This is the king that we had just read, that Wayne read for us, that he had a monument erected to himself in honor of his great victory, of his great listening to the Lord and overcoming the Amalekites. Not an honor to God who had given him the victory, not an honor to the God who had empowered him and affected all of that to take place. No, to honor himself, Saul erects this monument, and then he says, well, I guess I could cover up for this. I was going to have a really great barbecue, but let me throw down the God card. We saved those sheep so they could be a sacrifice to God. Yeah, that's it. And it's interesting, isn't it? What Saul was really doing, Saul was trying to get away with something. Saul was trying to enrich his own flocks. Saul was thinking, if I have to make a little sacrifice, or a phrase you hear nowadays somewhat in the business world, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. Saul figures, well, if God doesn't like, if he thinks I didn't keep all of his commandments right, I'll make a sacrifice. It'll be okay. And that's an interesting concept, isn't it? We may not think we have a stack of sheep over here to sacrifice to God, but don't we sometimes think, I know I shouldn't do that. I know God says it's a sin, but I mean, he's a God of love, and he would want me to feel good, and he'd forgive me if I come into church and ask him to, so here I go. We ever had thought process like that? We decide to let that gossip come out of our mouths. We decide to click on that site or buy this or try that or engage in this behavior. And we rationalize, well, God will have to forgive me. We figure that gets us out of having to obey. I'll just say I'm sorry and God will forgive. I'll make a sacrifice. I'll volunteer a little bit. I'll bump my offering up an extra $20 that week. God has a view about that kind of attitude of saying that listening to me and loving me isn't the same. It isn't as high a place. They don't think that. They think, oh, we'll just make sacrifices. We'll just pray prayers. We'll do whatever. And God says, I desire obedience, not just sacrifice. Why? Is God looking for a bunch of robots for us? So he clicks the remote and we all say, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. No, it's not robots. It's not pre-programmed. But he is looking for that love response. Did you hear Jesus say it? If you love me, you will obey my teaching. Just as I obeyed my Father's teaching. My way of showing my Father that I loved him was I did whatever he asked me to do. I said whatever he asked me to say. I went wherever he asked me to go. Not because I had to. Not because if I didn't, I was afraid he was going to kick me out of heaven. But because I love him and I knew he had a good plan. We have the opportunity, friends. We have the opportunity because Jesus has died to cancel sin and its our past guilt over it and its power over us. by his resurrection. He's canceled that power of sin. We now have the opportunity that by the Spirit of God, we can say yes to God. We can choose not because it's we have to or we're a robotic response, but out of our hearts, we can choose to say, Father God, I love you. Savior Jesus, thank you for the love you showed for me on the cross, and I want to love you back by listening and doing what you ask. So this test, when it comes, it's not just do 92%, not just love when other people are looking, or love when it's convenient, or love when it's the people that are like us. But this will all people know you are my disciples if you have love. This is how you're going to remain in my Father's love. This is how my love and my word are going to remain in you when it's a love response. And it is a test we face every day. Will I in love follow the recipe that God gives me? Will I in love speak truth and not lies? Will I in love step out? As we sang just a little while ago, some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wanderer sought and won, something for him who has first loved us. Jesus did that so perfectly. That was his way. He didn't say, oh God, I'm not going to let go of my godliness. I just can't. He emptied himself out when he let go and came to earth. He emptied himself out and showed us and showed his Father what an obedient life looked like. Obedient even to death. So there didn't have to be any more death for us. And then God has exalted him to this highest place. And God has offered an awfully high place to you and me, hasn't he? No one has greater love than this than someone lay down their life for their friends. You are my friends. You are my family. What a high invitation. I'm not just coming to save you because I have to. I'm coming because I love you, and I'm letting you in on the family business, which is to love, which is to shine, which is to serve. All different facets of love if we stop and think about it. So when the test comes, the test, will I let that person into traffic? Will I let that person go ahead of me in the supermarket? Will I stop doing something I know is wrong? Will I speak up against something I know is right because that's the loving thing to do? These tests will come. Will we obey God? Will we love him enough to choose to obey every time this test comes? May God, by his Spirit, help us do that to his glory, to our joy, as Jesus said, and to the growth of his kingdom and his gospel, now and always. Amen.